This is for Theocentric Counseling, the counseling course offered on the website for the, we call it the Third Millennium Cutting Edge Courses. And I really believe that God can really take concentrated information and put it in what we used to do, seminars locally. We still do, by the way, and conference materials and so forth, and even courses that last up to 16 weeks. We decided to put them on the web because we believe that the Lord can use them in teaching. And I have learned over the years how much I benefit from courses and materials and seminars that are on CD or tapes. Even if I'm not at a live conference, God can pack us with so much information. Anyway, this is Theocentric Counseling. This is the 12th session totally. This is actually, we're calling it session 7, but with a number of the doubled up sessions and so forth from the introduction on, I think this is the 12th full session. And it's good sometimes to go back over and refresh your mind, your thinking, and so forth. Many times I've found at seminars and places that I've gone to, even though it's material that I've already gone over or might be very well versed with, I find that God can give new insight, refresh things, sharpen me. God literally uses things just like this session here. That's why I'm excited, and I really believe that with all my heart, that he's able to use it and really bless your life and all those that are involved. So some of you that downloaded on CD and listened in your car, it's great. And may God, again, just give things to you. And I pray that he makes them practical. In other words, that you find in the context of listening to these hours, individuals that God will give you to counsel. Now, I want to say again, just as a reminder, that in theocentric counseling, obviously, in a theocentric and biblical sense, you are a witness for Christ to evangelize. You are counseling with the kind of counsel and comfort and revelation and blessing that God has given you experientially and by the Word of God. And what you've received from the Lord, maybe it's been people that prayed for you and God did some things in your life and you realized that prayer played a valuable part in relieving you from the trouble that you're in. And it's true, many times, individuals. I just got off a live talk radio show with from another state, and individuals began to, across the United States, call in. And an individual called in from a certain state, and I only wish I could have had the person longer to pray with them in a deliverance sense and to help them. I encourage them to write me because I want to help. And it's part of the ministry that all of us have in the area of counseling. Counseling in the theocentric sense involves the presence and power and grace of God, primarily the word and the works of Jesus. Now, when I went over the resource list, I gave you a large resource list that involves the workings and everything, providential workings, even allowing creation to speak. I want you to be encouraged to really know that God has so many things that he can give to you and grant to you in your time of need. So I just think that when we have troubles, I've learned this now, that when there's trouble and issues and things that have, you know, pressures that haven't gone away yet, that it can be aggravating sometimes. And you're saying, Lord, where are you? And why isn't this over? And why isn't, you know, there an answer? I find that it's better to just dig into the Word of God, scour the Word of God, seek the Lord more than ever before in a concentrated sense. So that, and the neat thing is that you will grow in so many other ways in the context of God speaking into your life and your issue. And a lot of it has to do with your development. Perseverance is faith in action. And God wants to develop perseverance. So when you read James chapter 1 to the believers, listen, this is a book that was written to believers who had become cynical and negative and were doubting and they were scattered and maybe complaining and their mouths were running and they were arguing with each other. So when we read in James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds, various kinds. Well, it's in a construction, an aorist in the Greek, that is saying that consider or put into practice something you're not doing. In the context of your trouble, we can respond in many ways. And let me tell you something, the way that you respond consistently is really how you develop your character overall. Character is the development of what your choices are consistently and continuously. So I want to encourage you right now to know that if you have backed away, every time there's been an issue, you've backed away into discouragement again and again and again, that's your normal response. That's the way you've been doing things. And obviously, it hasn't brought you any victory. It hasn't brought you any deliverance. And we learn that along the way. So if you begin to respond the way God wants you to, as we read in James, count it pure joy, unmixed joy, not because of the situation. He's not saying count it joy because you're having a really bad time or because bad things occurred to you. Count it pure joy because you know the reason for the joy is that you know that God will operate in your life in such a way to bring out a bolder, stronger you in Christ, a broadened and deepened spiritual understanding and depth, and a character that comes out with the power of perseverance. So that when troubles come, if you can count it pure joy, knowing that God's going to develop you, strengthen you, build you in the context of dealing with your problem, in the context of speaking into your problem and delivering you or guiding you through that. Now, he'll guide you through, deliver you, and move you through things, but would you rather go through that whole process complaining and negative and so forth, or would you go through that process praising God, trusting him, upholding up your faith when times are miserable because of the pressures, it is harder to give praise. But I tell you what, when you start praising God and start counting pure joy because you know God's going to work something in you through it all, and that you're going to come out, listen, if you do it God's way, you come out with no regrets. How many times have you gone through something and then after it's all over, you look back at yourself and think, man, I regret how I went through that. Now I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to reveal something now about my life. Now I'm going to tell you something about my life because I don't always like to pick on everybody else and tell their stories. But let me tell you this story. This goes back to when I was 6 years old. This is a true story too. We were living in Akron, Ohio. My mom took me and we were in a local plaza, the Arlington Plaza. And we were inside a little store called Grant's. I was used to throwing little fits as a kid to get things. So we were in the toy aisle, and my mom came and finally said, come on, we got to go. And I said, no, I want you to buy me this army gun. It was like a little plastic machine gun. And I was arguing with my mom about it, and finally I threw a fit, and I went down on the ground, and I began to just lay on the ground and cry and make noise, whatever else. And this time, you know what my mom did? All of a sudden, everything was quiet. I looked around. There was nobody in the aisle. My mom left. Not just the aisle, she left the store. She didn't leave just the store. She went out and got in the car and she drove home. When I got up and I looked around, there was a couple salespeople. Even as a kid, I can remember how embarrassed I was. But I realized, with that embarrassment, I looked around, walked outside of the store, and you know what? I looked for the car and it was gone. And all I knew as a kid, living in that area, because those were the days that, you know, all of the kids in the neighborhood, we walked all over the place, I began to walk home. And it was miles. And as I began to walk home, I saw our car coming back, the car from our home. And it wasn't my mom driving, it was my father. And it was a mixed bag because he couldn't believe that she left me up there. But on the other hand, I was in trouble. But let me tell you something, I can remember that experience, that all of that crying and whining and falling onto the floor did me no good. It just absolutely, and my mom taught me a lesson. So I want to encourage you that when we are counseling people, even before the answer comes, even before the deliverance comes, even before the, you know, the solving of the issue comes, how we go through it can determine future character, whether it will be powerful, immovable, strong, filled with praise, uplifted, physically strengthened, mentally and emotionally strengthened, and even radiating with the presence and power of God. Let me tell you something. There's Psalm chapter 34. You know what it says? It says, I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Now, when you read Psalm 34, you're going to find that it's completely backing 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, the Father of compassion, God of compassion, who comes into all the troubles and all the issues. But listen, when you read Psalm 34, don't forget to look to the next verse. Yes, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. Praise God. That's a testimony of a believer that did what God said to do in seeking him and looking to him for the answer, and God answered him. In all the cases, God answers faith. He does. Matter of fact, he rewards faith, and he wants us to approach him, not only that he exists, but that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11:6, and that is true. And that is how God brings about things in our lives. But when I read Psalm 34, the next verse goes on to say, those who look to him, the idea with trust and hope and gaze and focus on the Lord for the answer, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And you may be going through something that has brought you embarrassment, or it really is pressuring you in every possible way. But one way to maintain not just integrity, but the beauty of the presence of God, is to go through things, counting things pure joy, praising God, thanking God, worshiping God, because that can blast apart the satanic spiritual warfare that would seek to worsen your trouble, on the one hand. On the other hand, God inhabits the praises of his people, even in your troubled times. Paul and Silas, they were in a dirty old rotten prison. They had no idea when they'd get out, but they began to praise God and pray, and God's presence, power, not only was there, as he is always when we do that, but God responded. Now, think about that being a counseling situation. That's why I'm telling you that a lot of the concept of theocentric counseling, I don't solve people's problems, coming in and with just words and just advice, solving people's problems all the time. It is theocentric. It is God-centered. It may be that God needs to intervene in their life and do something in response to their faith-filled praise, faith-filled prayers. So I want to encourage you in this session, as kind of a follow-up session to, some of the others. And before we even get on to the appointment, which is one of the ones coming up also, this is a session to go back over the developmental side. Now, I made this particular, MP3 for CDs and so forth. There's no notes to this one. This is just kind of me sharing over the first number of pages and materials and letting you know that, yes, as we looked over 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, the Father of compassion, God of all comfort, who comforts us, helps us, delivers us, ministers to us, speaks to us in all of our troubles, so that we can then take what he has given us and then pass it on to others by testimony, by proclamation, confession, so forth, and or doing the things that was done. It might be prayers and so forth. But think about the counseling session that Paul and Silas had while they were in prison. Obviously, counseling involves people having trouble. And that trouble can be many different things. That's why I'm saying that part of counseling is discipleship. If you and I can get down the concept biblically, theocentrically, that when we're ministering to people, it always will involve witnessing Jesus. It'll involve the counsel of God, giving them, the counsel of God. It'll involve words and works, ministry. But it will also involve discipleship and equipping them. To equip a counselee, somebody coming in for a particular issue, and you help them with it, but also equip them on how they can take care of the issue. then they go away. Guess what? Being able to seek the Lord and do things without needing to come to you. And I think that this, again, the point that I've made in this foundational course is so many people have come to me over the years as pastor, youth pastor, executive director of Youth for Christ, whatever, for counsel, that if they would have been discipled correctly and they knew how to meet God, pray, worship, do spiritual warfare, seek the Lord on their own, they wouldn't have needed to come. There's a lot of things in my life that I go to the Lord. That's the primary thing the Psalms teaches us, to go to the Lord, to seek the Lord, to cry out in anguish if you need to tell him about your problems, to go ahead and grieve. He doesn't come against you. He doesn't look down on you because you grieve or hurt or have pain. If you have grief and pain and tears, that's okay. Cry before the Lord. Cry out to God. But let me tell you something. Don't cry out forever. Because the crying out will soon turn to, you know, where are you, God? Cynicism, doubting, negativism, and all those kind of things, like the believers that had been scattered that the book of James addresses. And even the book of Hebrews is similar in addressing believers who were beginning to slip back, falling into unbelief, and all the things that they were dealing with. That's trying to draw them back to faith, to perseverance, to living in the presence and power of God in such a way that they can see God work in their lives the same way he has worked in the leaders that they knew. You know, when you read about Elijah and you read about different people in the scriptures, one of the reasons God has written all that down was to encourage us and give us hope that God, who did things in their life, can do the same things in your life. Yes, he can. Many times we just want to be delivered, but God may want to develop us before the deliverance. Oh, deliverance comes. The word of the Lord comes. The pressure is gone. Spiritual warfare, the attack of the enemy, the release and the relief will come. Hallelujah. But how you make it through is another issue. So part of your counseling involving your witness, your testimony, sharing the counsel of God, sharing the help that God gives, word and works, and discipling people on how to be obedient to the word of God and to put it into practice so they can be powerful, so that they can live without regrets. Because that's what Satan loves when trouble comes, that we'll just sit around, cry and complain and turn into something very nasty until it's all over. And like my experience as a six-year-old in a store, crying and, you know, laying on the floor and demanding my mom to give me a little toy gun, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to get my way. Thank God for the lesson I learned, that all the screaming, crying, laying on the floor and the dirty floor and whatever didn't get me the answer. I had to get up and face everything. And I had to learn that is not the way. And that's a good parent. If a parent gives in all the time, wow. We got to make sure of something, that we don't project styles of dysfunctional parenting up on God. And God can withhold and not give us things until we come in faith. When you read James chapter 1, and we're clearly told that God will not only develop us with perseverance to bring us to the point that there's nothing lacking in our lives, but that we're, you know, strong and whatever. But in that perseverance, which is, again, faith in action, the best way to persevere is with praise, thanksgiving, prayer, moving forward, being active, building your faith. That's the best way to persevere with a sense of heroics behind it, a sense of I'm gonna come through this and I'm going to wait on the Lord and, responding to Scripture, like in 1 Corinthians 15, that we're told to be people of courage, immovable. Fear not, and things like that. And so sometimes when you're counseling individuals and the answer hasn't come, it's the problem is not over. Part of the counseling deals with teaching them spiritually how to respond, how to become powerful, how to grow, how to gain, how to develop in throughout the entire ordeal, so that when it is over, they're stronger, wiser, you know, and more able to deal with the next thing down the road, and that they haven't lost anything. They're not going to regret looking back, because you know what? If all we do is throw out nothing more than a spiritual temper tantrum before God, if that's all that we do each and every time, I'm pretty sure from my experience that we just stay in the same old rut. God wants to develop our lives, and by putting the word into practice, the word, you know, our lives are developed and become strong. When we're not doing that, God can come into our lives to bring to allow hardship to kind of force us, push us, cause us to, you know, finally choose to do the will of God, which it says in Hebrews 12, eventually will, you know, if we submit to the Father of our spirits and so forth, that it will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. You know, through it all, you know, don't you want your life to have a harvest? I mean, to be rich with righteousness and rich with the peace of God. Yeah, the God of hope desires to fill you with all joy and peace. But here it is, as you trust in him. Some of the demonstrations of trust is praise and worship. If you find that in your counselees, and again, you can find this in your own lives many times too, but if you find in your counselees that all of their praise is shut down, and that's an indicator that faith is still weak or being weakened through the process. So it's very important that when you're taking people through the issues, that even before the answer comes, the development of their life is as vital and as important as the answer to the deliverance of the dilemma they're in. So don't be so quick to get out of things. Listen, if you've got a counselee before you, and you come to discern that God is bringing discipline into their life because they have not been willing to obey and follow him and do things, if in your talks with them and you're constantly, again, doing what I say to do in Theocentric, is keep saying, what else? What else do they need? Are they, you know, are they in fellowship? Are they in the Word? Are they in worship? You know, what are they able to do as a believer at this point? And if you see a tremendous spiritual lack, it may be that God is allowing this to occur out of discipline. And let me tell you something, my friend, as a counselor, as a brother and sister in Christ, it's not my job to say, God, lay off the discipline. God is disciplining, and if I recognize that in a counseling situation, then we have to encourage somebody, listen, what is God trying to teach you? What is God trying to tell you? What is God trying to show you? What scripture verses mainly come to your mind and heart? What is it that God is trying to develop in your life? So, in the context of deliverance, healing, help, freedom from the pressure, in that context, let's also be very wise about what God has willed to do in their lives. Development. The development of perseverance. The development of endurance. The development of knowledge. Now again, take a look over, if you want to 2 Peter chapter 1. And when it talks about, you know, that his divine power has given us everything we need, we have the power of God. We're participating in the actual working of divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires, that we're being freed and changed. But then it goes on to say in the next verse that because of these things, you know, do what? Add to your faith. Now listen, that's that Greek word spoude. You know, put every bit of your effort into adding to your faith. Now listen, many Christians are putting absolutely no effort into the development of their lives. They're spiritual pacifists, spoon-fed. And that's where in your counseling, exhortation, correction, and encouragement, you may need to really inspire them and preach them, encourage them. Stand up. You're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to trust the Lord. And before this deliverance, before the end of this issue is over, learn how to praise God, seek God, get knowledge, gain, grow in endurance, grow in perseverance, grow. You know, there's a lot of things we can teach them to repent of, as we've learned in our own lives. When you go through things, many times we can look back and say, hey, the way I responded, some of it was good, some of it was not good. What do I need to repent of in the context of my responses to the issues, to the problems, and so forth that are going on? What do I need to do? And so I think it's very, very important that we learn this principle in the context of helping people. So if we were to bring out three case studies, for example, case study number one, somebody that is living, you know, they got doubt in their life. They're just spiritually unsure of their salvation. They don't know about God's presence and so forth. They come in and they're just saying, listen, I don't know. I know I accepted Christ and I just don't feel God. And I'm not, you know, I don't know what to do. And again, because of lack of discipleship into the word, into the experiences of Christ, that there they are as a little babe in Christ. They don't even know how to nourish themselves yet, nor where or how to receive the nourishment. So in your ministry to them, to bring them the word of God, the confidence that about salvation, grounding them in verses that say things like, I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you do have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verses of assurance, verses that give foundation. For them, because Satan loves to come and steal the word and take it away to break the confidence even of a new believer. So say you're ministering to someone who's going through the doubt, whatever else, and it might be a great opportunity to disciple them, to say, listen, have you learned to begin to praise God? Have you learned to begin to just worship God? And maybe in the counseling session, you say, listen, I'm going to put on some praise music, and let's just begin to worship God together. Or maybe you put on some praise music and say, listen, I'm going to begin to thank the Lord and worship the Lord. Then right after I'm done, I want you to begin to worship the Lord and praise the Lord, and you do it also. And so all of a sudden you start praising God and thanking the Lord, and you're feeling the presence of God. It's a blessing. And then they begin to do it. And they may do it very weakly at first, but they might begin to build, and they may begin to feel the power of the Spirit of God, and they may begin to do it a little bit bolder, and then pretty soon they're breaking through oppression and their bad feelings. The Word of God's, you know, really, they're gripping it, they're appropriating it, and they're feeling the power of that Word. The Word begins to work in them that believe, like it says in 1 Thessalonians. The Word will work in them that believe. But if they're hesitating to believe, if they're living in doubt, it's very clear they're not going to receive anything, according to James chapter 1. So that's one scenario. That's one kind of basic case study that you'll have numerous times, whether in an altar counseling situation or whether in a on the field somewhere in your office or in the church building or whatever, that you will be there to encourage them. Because if you just give them all the scriptures and say, hold this, take these three verses and memorize, that's great. That is great. But add in what might be lacking in their life. They don't know how to worship Jesus to the point where they're really seeing the manifestation of God in their life, God inhabiting the praises of this people, the power that is in that praise and the joy in that fellowship. They might not know how to pray and rebuke the enemy if they feel oppressed. Well, let's go on to another case study. And these are case studies that are actual things that have occurred in my office or in my, you know, experience. I'm not saying the names of people. Some of these are 20, 25 years old as far as cases too. Let me tell you another one that came in one time, and I had a fellow pastor with me, a team member. Guy came in because he'd called and he just felt like he had great oppression around him, like a fog over his head and confusion and on and on and on and on. So as he came in, we sat down, we began to talk about everything. And, of course, in, you know, getting to know each other a little bit and opening up in prayer then. I prayed a little bit, and that kind of set the stage. And as I'm observing him, you know, and I just kind of sensed that we need to pray. And that's what we did. I prayed against satanic oppression over him. We rebuke that and led him in a prayer to acknowledge Christ, acknowledge the Word of God. Literally, we're leading him, like in the armor of God, to lift up the shield of faith, to lift up his shield of faith in the Word and in Christ. And as he began to do that, and as we prayed, he instantly felt this cloud go off of him, the sense of oppression go off of him. You know why? It wasn't just because of the prayer that we did, which did back off the enemy's oppressive attack, but it was also him beginning to lift up prayer and praise. And he literally, as he was praying and giving thanks to the Lord, and as I led him through confirming, appropriating the Word of God and acknowledging Christ as Lord, and then praying out to renounce anything of dark spirits and so forth, he literally was lifting up the shield of faith. And the Bible says that if you lift up the shield of faith, you'll extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. The flaming arrows, Satan sends involuntary feelings and thoughts to create oppressive feelings, doubt, a cloud, a lack of the presence of God. It's all about questioning God. It's all about, you know, that basic, you know, attack and so forth. So when we went through all of that, you know, and as he went through that, you could see his countenance was changed. He was just thankful. He was grateful. He felt like literally like something went right off his head, and it did. It was his emotions were packed with oppressive and doubt filled issues, where the enemy was able to bring involuntary feelings of the absence of God's presence, and a sense of darkness and so forth that weakened his praying and worshiping and so forth. So that was another case. And after we went through that, it gave counsel. We did prayer. We led him in what we felt he needed to pray and acknowledge the Lord and appropriate truth and renounce any other things in his own life, and to do that in direct relationship to the Lord, and including the prayers that we would do that would help him. He was blessed. He was happy. And I love to see people leaving the office doors happy and free and praising Jesus Christ. And as far as seeing him come back, he never had to come back again. And he had a skill when he left. He was able to, you know, do the same thing when he left again. Let me give you a third case, and again, this one involves a demonic thing, and I've shared this one publicly a number of times, but this is the one where a psychologist brought in a girl, and as we sat, the psychologist said she's hearing voices, I think it's demonic stuff, and so anyway, we sat, and I listened to her for about an hour, we were talking, and I'm writing notes down, and as I'm perceiving, the discernment in my notes and so forth wasn't just one, it was three demons. And I mentioned to her, and I asked her questions about when this voice came to her head, when she was depressed and divorced, and she was so empty and lonely and passive, and she began to feel this voice tell her what to do. Well, eventually she began to listen to the voice in her head all the time, to the point that the voice told her to kill her dog, and she killed her dog. And as we prayed, you know, first showing her exposure of those voices, what they were, as we prayed and commanded the demonic to go off of her, a religious spirit and controlling spirit and so forth, to get out and get off of her life, and led her in prayer to renounce that voice and to only listen to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, who would only speak in unison with the Word. This girl was so, she got up, it was like she could have got up and danced all the way out of the offices. She was so happy and so grateful, and she felt freedom, and she felt really good. And now the psychologist called me and brought her back 2 weeks later. And she said, there's nothing inside like that going, she had fear, and she felt the voices were coming back or whatever. And so as we prayed about it, talked about it a little bit, you know, got into some prayer, I said, listen, it's more like drive-by shooting. The enemy's gone, but he's there. And she doesn't know anything about how to use authority to rebuke the enemy, how to make sure she has the armor of God on. So as we went through telling her what to do, just to out loud rebuke any presence like that, any voices like that, and to stand boldly and instead of fear, put faith in Jesus to shield you and to rebuke those things, presence, and to tell it to get lost and to ground yourself in the Word of God. And again, she did all that. She was happy. She learned some biblical skills, discipleship, and equipping level skills. And guess what? She never had to come back. The psychologist I saw maybe 6-8 months later, you know, I asked her about this particular girl. She said, oh, she had found somebody and she got married because her first one ended in adulterous issues and the guy left and whatever. And she had freedom and the psychologist gave a very good report about the girl. And I think that that's very important for you and I as counselors to realize we don't just share words. And it's not just, and I love to give homework, to give supplementals and to have them read materials that's supportive. I look at it as something, again, of discipleship and something that might even begin to build some of the equipping that's needed in their life. Because they don't need me or you to do all their praying for them, all their praising for them, all the rebuking of the enemy, all the discerning for them. They need to learn that. They need to learn that. So Christian counselor, this is a part of what theocentric counseling is all about. Being a witness of Jesus, sharing the testimonies of what God the Father of compassion, has done in your life and how he's helped you. Witnessing to the presence, power, and blessing of God. Demonstrating that by at times praying, praising God, or rebuking the enemy, or renouncing things and leading them to do the same. It involves the counsel the Word of God as the Holy Spirit gives. It involves possibly charismatic gifting to give a word of knowledge or whatever else may be a benefit to their life. It may involve then telling them, this is what you need to do each time this goes on, each time this occurs. And if you see that then builds them and benefits them and blesses them and gives them skill, biblical discipleship, equipping skills, the saints. And again, let me just make reference to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, concerning what are apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists supposed to do? Well, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to equip the saints. We're supposed to help them be enabled to do the works of ministry. And now that's works of ministry, soul winning, and prayer for revival, and deliverance, and counsel, and share, and so forth. All of us as believers should, in discipleship, learn how to relate and worship. We should learn how to worship. Worship is beneficial to us. Worship, if you think in terms of worship for a moment, when you're praising God and when you're lifting up songs, You're manifesting the attributes, the character, the nature of God in the words of those hymns and spiritual songs. You are allowing those words to be out there that you're hearing with your own ear, that are packed with and inhabited with the presence of God. And so worship is that's why it's so powerful. That's why God was able to invade when Silas and Paul were worshiping and praising and praying while they were in prison, possibly doomed. And God intervened in a powerful way. Now, I'm not saying he's going to, you know, cause an earthquake every single time. But don't put it past God, the Father of compassion, the God of all hope, the God of amazing grace, to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we imagine, we even think. He's able to do super ekperiosu. That's the Greek word. He's able to do super abundantly beyond. Your mind can't comprehend what he could do. Your thinking can't comprehend what God could do. Sometimes in the answer, you know, when sometimes we're praying about things, you know what we do sometimes as believers? We think in terms of, you know what? How will God be able to answer that? We start thinking up ways in which God can answer. And you know what? I think we do that to build our own faith, to believe God. And I think we need to catch ourselves at times so that we're not telling God how it is that he can do something. We need to really allow him. When the Bible says in a beautiful way, and this is a part of theocentric counseling right here, when the Word of God says in the Old Testament, brought into the New Testament, in the book of Peter, cast all your cares, some translations say all your anxiety, the idea of pressures and pains and so forth, cast them all upon the Lord. Because why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. Now that's an awesome thing. And you may have to teach your counselee how they need to respond to the Lord. It is very true that God may not give them an answer until they have responded with the development of perseverance, growing and renouncing cynicism and anger and bitterness and doubt and to stop giving room to the devil in the midst of things and start learning how to. And if you do this in a believer's life who's young, and they begin to learn how to respond correctly and how they can gain insight from God, power from God, blessing from God, knowledge from God, development in their character of perseverance and immovability and so forth, and becoming that indefeatable type Christian, even before deliverance or an answer or anything else comes, so that the response and the development that occurs in correct response becomes more powerful than even the deliverance from the issue in the first place. God is amazing. God wants to develop us. You and I as believers, we need to make sure we're not spiritual pacifists that God has to drag along and sometimes drag through an episode where he is trying to push us into the kind of pursuit of him that we should have had in the first place. Now think about it for a few moments if you're already a professional counselor. I mean, what I mean by that is you've been, you know, you're doing it a lot. Or if you're an altar counselor or a lay counselor in a church or of a counseling center or whatever. And you begin to think about a lot of the people that you've been ministering to. Now that's just simply three cases that I've shared. The one that's doubting, the guy that came with oppression, the girl that came in with voices. And in each case, yes, we were able to minister, speak the word of God, encourage. In the process of that, the Holy Spirit giving discernment, so forth, but also teaching them what they need to be doing on a biblical level themselves, teaching them on an equipping level what they can begin to do in spiritual warfare, and teaching them, you know, reliance in faith on God, and again, seeing him operate with that joy and that peace in their life, and to give them hope. And then they learn that when they go through those things and they've developed and God has answered, guess what? Then God's able to allow that hope, that divine, indefeatable optimism that knows there are possibilities factually that God can bring about good things and so forth, that becomes part of the character. Now, if you want to, again, from this point, mark down Romans chapter 5 and study where it begins to say, we rejoice in our sufferings, but we also rejoice, you know, in the hope, you know, the hope. We rejoice, you know, concerning the sufferings that we're going through. Why? Well, because we know that the suffering can produce something. It can produce perseverance, and perseverance can bring about a character. Truly, how you respond is going to develop your character. If you whine, cry, get mad, back off from God, quit reading your Bible, then if that's what you consistently do, you're going to find that you will be very weak, that you'll be in a spiritual rut, and you'll remain on the low end of that spiritual ladder. And that's what we got to tell individuals. Because the normal thing sometimes for flesh, the world, to do is just simply to escape problems. That's why people take drugs, alcohol, food issues, sex issues, whatever, to fill the need, to fill the void, to have some kind of emotional release. And when things are really bad, some people will cut themselves for emotional release, to release pain, to focus on something else. Well, God has a better way that brings us to experience him and build knowledge, build in power, build in grace. Can you grow powerfully? Well, yeah, Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 22, when Saul of Tarsus begins to preach Jesus in obedience to the word, filled with the Spirit already. He begins to launch out and put the word of God into practice. And guess what? It says this: he grew more and more powerful. He grew more and more powerful. Putting the word of God into practice will cause you to become more and more powerful. It enlarges your spiritual capacity to hear, to receive, to manifest, and to build character. So, when you are hit up, when you are stricken by issues around you, if you begin to learn to, you know what, I'm putting my praise up. I'm going to kick it up a few notches. You'll get to the point where no matter what the issues are going on, you're not praising God because some horrific, terrible thing, you know, a family member went in a car wreck. You're not saying, God, I praise you because my family member is all bloody. No, that's not what we're doing. That's not what the Word of God says. No, you can seek the Lord and praise Him for being the God that can step in and minister to everything else, and that you're going to trust Him to invade the situation, to do things that would most likely never occur outside of God's grace and mercy, and that instead of falling to pieces, God will enable you to minister and to fill your life, and that's vital. So many Christians that you and I deal with as far as counselees, they have gone through their issues, and the issues that they've gone through, because of the way they responded, they become less spiritual, less in their development of faith, and in their ability to want to step out and serve God any longer. And I've seen this again and again and again, where people have come in, and 10 years ago, they failed in a big way, and they've never gone beyond it. And until they can see the Lord speaking to them and you can help show them where they, you know, messed up in their response. Because not only did they not get the answer, they did not get the deliverance, they did not get the answer, you know, that they really wanted. Not only did they not get that, but they grew cynical and maybe bitter and so forth. Man, listen. See to it, you know, that nobody has a bitter, you know. Listen, that bitterness can build up inside an individual. And Satan loves it. He loves to ride on bitterness. He loves to speak into bitterness. He can come right in and sit on top of bitterness. Unresolved, consistent, anger. He loves to come to push it over the edge and tell you, yeah, that's right. Be angry. Do something about it. Become filled with rage. Lose control. Now, that's where we find in Ephesians 4 where, you know, the enemy can get a foothold. And we're taught not to give him that foothold. And a lot of new believers, they don't know how to do that yet. So a lot of the people you deal with are people that don't know how to do things yet because they haven't learned them. They haven't appropriated them. That's like the early disciples when Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has come to sift you as wheat. Oh, they didn't even know what hit them, and they all ran. And there's Peter out there, you know, cussing and denying that he knows. He's in this great big uproar, and he's in this torment because he loves Jesus, but he's completely failing. He didn't even know what hit him, and so a lot of the cases deal with that kind of spiritual warfare and that kind of trouble, you know, that's going on, and that's what we need to help people with, and bring them through. So. My encouragement in this session anyway, this session for you to, and again, we could just simply call this session 7. And in this session 7, I just simply want you to study Psalm 34. Study well Psalm 34. Study well the book of James, or the first chapter at least, and begin to take a look at what God is saying for them to put into practice, something they had not yet put into practice in the development of their faith and perseverance in the context of trials and tribulation. Take a look also then into 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 on down, and look at the developmental side, that if a person has those qualities in increasing measure, they're not going to become unproductive and underdeveloped and so forth in their faith in Jesus. If they don't have them, they're going to be in that rut, forget things, and be spiritually weak. So I guess in session seven, what I want you to study the Word of God, think through your own, matter of fact, let's call this session responses in the context of waiting for deliverance. You can respond with fear, negativity, backing off. That's the road of depression, where people want to just go and sleep and not think about it and whatever. And again, in a spiritual development, God doesn't answer that. He does not answer doubt. And we might as well learn that right now. We can be like I was when I was 6 years old, on that floor, pounding the floor, crying out, demanding what I wanted right then and there, even though it wasn't right, demanding, all this kind of stuff. And when we get up and look around, it's like God's nowhere around. He doesn't respond to doubt. He does not give anything to doubt. Now, the Word of God says in Jude, be merciful to those that doubt. God is. He's merciful to those that doubt. He'll try to help you, but He's trying to help an individual come to faith so they can receive, because the one that believes in Him will not be disappointed or put to shame. Romans 10. Faith is where the working of God. That's the window that we talked about where God comes in and God comes through. And that's where you're going to have to lead people. So sharing the word of faith, sharing testimonies that build faith will help them to step out. We need to lead them to step out to trust God and to believe God. That's what we do in leading somebody to Jesus, to repent of their sin, to believe, to accept by faith Christ into their life. And that's what we need to do with the rest of the word of God, to appropriate, you know, the truths and the development. But God is intending to develop His people. And if we become spiritual pacifists and we don't do anything with our spiritual lives, you know, the trouble that enters into our lives may be what God wants to use to say, get certain sin out of your life. And now start developing what I wanted you to develop 10 years ago. Develop faith and praise and worship. Develop an obedience that has the power of spirit-filled perseverance in it. Develop in your life, you know, such a spiritual capacity that God can literally fill you with that hope, that biblical confidence of miraculous possibilities, and that God has answers, and that God answers the troubles, and that God will bring you through, and that God will open a door, and that God will give you some wisdom, and that God will develop you, and that God has a way the thing that Satan wants us to always say is there is no hope, and to shut everything down. That's the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants to build into your character. Whether you read that in James chapter 1 or whether you read that in Romans chapter 5, the goal of that producing perseverance that develops the character that causes God to shed abroad in our hearts the love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Once again, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We also rejoice in our suffering. To rejoice is the Greek word meaning to exult triumphantly. So that when trouble comes, we're not saying somebody acts crazy and just starts jumping around saying, praise God, because my son was hit by a car and he's bloody and he's got three broken, you know, bones and he's in the hospital. I'm praising God for that. That's not correct according to James chapter 1. What you're doing is saying, God, I cry out to you. Here's what's happened. My son's been hit by the car. He's got these broken legs. And Lord, I'm praying, minister to him and heal him. And I'm going to be there for him. And give me wisdom on how to just show your compassion to him. But I'm going to praise you in the midst of this, because in the midst of this, you will speak in my life. In the midst of this, I will grow in my knowledge. In the midst of this, I will help my child trust you and wait on you and learn from you and receive from you, that it won't be just an empty, vain experience, but it'll be an experience in which we open the door for God to speak, God to answer, God to bless, and perhaps God to show an amazing miracle. So in the responses along the way to troubles, in the responses that you know, that believers need to give, I just deeply encourage you to look into your own life about how you respond and how you've been doing that and in your development, because you become broader and your faith is built, and you literally become, in a sense, I don't want to, I'll just say it this way, kind of a, well, I don't know if it's a good thing to say or not, a magnet of the blessing and the graces of God. When you're persevering biblically with faith and praise and thanksgiving and saturating with the Word of God and refusing to give in to discouragement and refusing to get cynical and refusing to get argumentative and so forth and refusing to give the devil any ground when he's trying to take opportunity. I can just tell you, when you do that and do it again and again and again and again, you will be just an incredible incredible, immovable believer that will have tremendous hope, biblical hope, built into you, and that will pour over into people that you're counseling. It really will. And I'm going to tell you again, in theocentric counseling, you know, I'm not saying, you know, you, I mean, gosh, you could read 1,000 books on counseling. Praise God. Thank God for all the information. But I'm going to tell you right now, counseling comes out of a life that has been developed spiritually. Theocentric counseling comes out of a life that's been developed to where out of your life comes the Word of God to them, comes the counsel of God to them, comes the testimony of how God has worked in your life, comes the faith-building exhortation and encouragement and sympathy and weeping with those that weep and mourning with those who mourn, but leading them to faith, leading them to exercise praise, leading them to rebuke the enemy and to notice how the enemy tries to take advantage in these times, leading them to be developing their growth, developing their faith, developing their perseverance, which embeds the grace, mercy, power, and might of God into their character even before the answer, the glorious answers are all given, and before the final, you know, solutions are given to the whatever the situation may be. So study again these scriptures that I believe are on page 22 in your notes, and then we'll go on to what an appointment it can be like, and might talk about a couple more case studies there. Again, I pray the mercy and grace and might of God to teach you, to spiritually give you insight and perception, to maybe re-go over some, when we've lost ground. What I like to do sometimes is see where I lost ground and say, Lord, I lost ground in that engagement with trouble in my life, and I don't want to lose ground any longer. And I want to be able to press the metal, and I want to be able to respond quicker and stronger and deeper into the Lord in the midst of things, so that even before the answer, even before the deliverance, even before everything else, that my face can still shine with the radiance of God's grace and powerful Holy Spirit-given hope before I even get the answer to come. And obviously, again, you know, when you go back into the book of Acts and study Paul and Silas, they're singing and praising God. You know, there's been times I would sing and praise God with some tears, but pretty soon those tears, you know, that all that sorrow, man, weeping may endure for the night, but listen, in Christ, the solid rock I stand, you know, on Christ, listen, all of the ground is seeking sand. You know, weeping may endure for the night, but listen, joy comes in the morning. His mercies are new every day, my friend. And so if you allow God to fill you, even shutting off this, you know, MP3 and just stepping out into your room where you're at, wherever you might be, and beginning to praise God and worship Him and dedicate that you're going to fix your praise and thanksgiving, dedicate that you're going to rid yourself of cynicism and bitterness and angers, and commit to press your faith stronger and persevere with power, persevere with praise, persevere with a commitment to receive from God in the context of troubling circumstances, while and all the while knowing that God cares what's happening to you and what's going on, and that God wants to give ultimately the counsel, the help, the direction, or the miracle that's needed for the actual trouble. So, develop and receive the final answer that God's going to bring. Again, Lord bless you. This is Russ, Theocentric Counseling, session number 7, shadowthedarkness.net on the web.